I think since communion is today, I'm going to skip the epistle reading and go right to the gospel reading, which is Luke chapter 14, verse 1, and then we skip to the two parables, verses 7 and 14. It's on page 77. Luke wrote, "On one occasion when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. Jesus said, 'When you sit down or when you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host invited you both may come to you and say, "Give this person your place." And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit at the lowest place, so that when the host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." Jesus also said to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors, in case that they may invite you in return and you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." The word of the Lord. So as we have gone through Luke the last month, he's getting closer every week to Jerusalem. He's on his way to the cross. And so as we read these stories and as we hear these parables, I think there's always that picture that we should keep in mind, that since the transfiguration, he knows where he's going, and he knows what's going to happen to him, and he still goes. And that is a brave man. And the other thing I think we should keep in mind, especially with this, but also in a lot of these parables, is the fact that they do not always read into our culture. Our culture believes in guilt and innocence and in a judicial system, and that is not exactly what the Mediterranean people believed in the time of Jesus. They were much more interested in what they called honor and shame. So when you read this parable, you're going to hear the word disgraced, which comes from the word in Greek that means shame. And that is a major part of these parables, is honor and shame. And we miss that a lot because that's not how this society works anymore. Maybe once, but not anymore. So keep those in the picture that you form in your head. Jesus has just been warned by some Pharisees to flee from here. They tell him, flee from here, because King Herod wanted to kill him. That was the same Herod that killed John the Baptist. But instead of fleeing, Jesus goes to eat a meal at a Pharisee leader's house. And it says they were watching him closely. Now, Jesus wasn't their enemy, but they were watching him. And Jesus did not consider the Pharisees his enemy because he went and ate with them. You did not eat with your enemy. But they were watching him because they were scared of him. Jesus had power. He had popularity. The people were starting to follow him. And whenever that happens, the people that are in power get a little nervous. So Jesus goes to this banquet after probably preaching on a Sunday or a Saturday afternoon. And the first thing he does, which we don't read about because we skip right over it, is he cures a man with dropsy. I didn't know what dropsy was. It's called edema. That I've heard of. That means your body fills up with water and you get real puffy. Usually it's something that it's hiding something that's really bad with you. I mean, filling up with water is bad enough, but it's not the underlying cause. So there was a guest at this dinner. Jesus notices that he's not well, and he cures him. Now, if you remember last week's sermon, Jesus cured a lady that had been crippled for 18 years. And the Pharisee leader, which may not have been the same guy, didn't like it. And even though he didn't throw Jesus under the bus, he threw the people, especially the lady that came and got cured, under the bus, which always seems a little odd to me. So Jesus is not only at this leader's house, he is also healing people on the Sabbath, even though it's not in the synagogue like it was last week. And that's after they told him to leave because he was in danger of being killed. If nothing else, Jesus was a brave man. And he goes on and he continues and he teaches them using two parables. One is directed to the guests and the second one to the host. Jesus teaches them, and I like how he teaches them what not to do and why, and what to do and why. He just doesn't give commandments. He says why you shouldn't do it. When you are invited, he says, do not sit down at the place of honor. I'm going to digress just a second. Literally, he does not say sit down. He says recline. The Greek is recline. It means we don't understand how they ate. We don't know much about the Jewish society. The greatest picture in Christendom, which is the Last Supper, is totally wrong. That's not how they ate. They laid down around tables. They knew exactly where you sat and who was more important than you sat in a higher position, closer to the man who invited you. It was a society built on honor and shame. So he said, don't sit down. That's for us, so we know that they're at dinner, at the place of suffer, at the place of honor. Because the host might actually come to you and say, this guy's more important than you, and you better move on down. And you will be in disgrace, or you will be shamed. And then he told them why. What would happen? What to do and why? When you go into the room, since you don't know who's going to also be invited. Assume that you're not the most important person in the room. In fact, assume that everybody is more important than you are. And then the host may come to you and say, move up higher. You don't belong down here. And you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. Now, did Jesus make this up? Was this just a thought that came to him? No. It's from the Old Testament. It's from what we call the wisdom sayings of Solomon in the Proverbs. Now, Solomon said, do not put yourself forward in the king's presence or stand in the place of the great. For it is better to be told, come up here, than to be put lower in the presence of a noble. That was Solomon's worldly view of his kingdom. Don't come up in front of me like you're equal with me. Bad things will happen to you. Jesus changes that. It becomes a parable because he's putting it alongside the kingdom of God. This whole chapter is about the kingdom of God and what it means to be in the kingdom of God. So that's our first lesson for this morning. It's a parable of human wisdom versus Jesus's kingdom. And then he says a quote that you find throughout the ages. Exalt that which is low, abase that which is high. He gives it a little different spin. He takes that from Ezekiel and says, because he wants to be both direct and he wants people to understand that it's an either or. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. And again, we as 21st century Americans do not understand what the word humble means. Not all of us. I'm not throwing everybody under the bus. Lots of us, me included, have a really hard time with the word humble. To us, it means weak, not important, second best. And that is not the American way, but that is Jesus's way. And it's so important that Jesus says exactly the same quote later in chapter 18 of Luke. Luke quotes him again, saying exactly the same thing. There aren't very many parables where Jesus says exactly the same thing. But it was that important to Jesus that we understand that to be humble is the way that we get exalted. Now, that word exalted means lifted up. That's why I like that song. It was talking about being lifted up to heaven. It's the same word that Luke uses when Jesus is lifted up on the cross, exalted, lifted up. And the Apostle Paul wrote these words after Jesus' death, probably 20, 30 years, because he thought it was important too. Let the same mind be in you that was in Jesus Christ. And then he says a lot of other things. And then he finishes with, and being found in human form, Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even a death on a cross. So in this parable, in this time, Jesus is moving on to Jerusalem. And he's leaving instructions, both to his first disciples and also to us, that he knows how to be humble. He's going to humble himself. And if we notice that, If we do like Paul and say, notice that, be in a mind like Jesus Christ, then we will have gotten what he was trying to tell us about entering the kingdom of God. To be like Christ, not the world. And then there's a break, and he begins another parable. Now, in our reading, we only read the first two verses, and we don't read it again next week. Our gospel lesson skips it and goes on to the next parable. I don't always understand the lectionary, but I didn't make it. But this parable is different. It's about those of us who are invited to attend the banquet and decide not to show up. And that's what the following part of the parable is all about that we don't read. But here Jesus says, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite those who are going to pay you back. First thing I thought of was a wedding. You know how much time mothers and daughters spend trying to get people arranged around the table at a wedding? It is more important than the State of the Union address. I mean, it is important where you sit at table 1, 2, 3. You know, if you got 13 tables, you go in and you see you're in the 13th table. Can I move up? Nobody's ever said that, so. But that's what Jesus is saying. Don't invite the people that you know can repay you, because that doesn't show anything. Because that's the other part of being invited to a wedding. Now you got to invite them to the wedding, the next one, right? I mean, that's how gifts work. So he continued and he told them what to do. Invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed. Sounds very similar to the Sermon on the Mount. And you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Now, this parable is not so much hidden. He kind of lays it right out. He's inviting us to enter into his ministry. He had just quoted Isaiah weeks before when he was still in Galilee. The Lord has sent me to proclaim the release of the captives and the recovery of the sight to the blind and to let the oppressed go free. You might remember that story. That's when his hometown people in Nazareth decided to throw him off the hill. They weren't so happy after they found that their homegrown son was saying, you're not always doing what you need to do. So when we do things because we know that we're going to be repaid, especially when we do things that are mandatory to do in society, and I mean that in the way that in their society, if you are invited to a wedding banquet, someday you are going to invite somebody, that same person, back. And so actually there was a little bit of give and take. If you got invited to something and you couldn't afford to pay them back, you didn't go. It was okay not to go. It was not okay to go and not pay them back. So it was pretty mandatory. Only when we do something when we expect no reward will we be blessed. And he mentions at the resurrection of the righteous. That statement would have not made any sense to anybody in Judea that wasn't a Pharisee, because the regular Jewish people did not believe in resurrection yet. The Pharisees were the first group, and then Jesus, that believed in the resurrection of the righteous. It doesn't happen in Israel's history before the first century before Christ. And so That's why I don't think they're enemies. They believe a lot of the same things. Most importantly, they both believe about resurrection. If you were in the temple in Jerusalem, they did not believe in resurrection. So if we don't do things just because we get repaid, why do we do them? What is their purpose? And I'm leave you with no better answer than what comes out of the Westminster Confession of Faith, which is very Presbyterian, let me tell you, very. Good works, it says, are done in obedience to God's commandments. They are the fruits and the evidences of a true and lively faith. And by them, believers manifest their thankfulness, strengthen their assurance, edify their brothers and sisters, stop the mouths of the adversaries, and probably most importantly, glorify God, in whose image they are made, so that at the end, through Jesus Christ, they may have eternal life. Hallelujah. Amen. Gracious God, you call us to relinquish our cares and concerns of our lives to you, so that we might serve you in perfect freedom. Hear us as we bring before you the petitions of our hearts and in our minds, both said out loud and to ourselves. We offer prayers for the church here in Gibson City and around the world. May our words and our actions as the body of Christ bring honor to your name and teach us true humility. We offer our prayers for the needs of the world. May your peace be found in all places of conflict and violence and between all humans. Let us become one in Christ and serve you. We offer our prayers for those who suffer from sickness of body or mind or spirit. And we especially bring up those who care for them, the forgotten people, the ones on the front lines that need your comfort and support. We pray for June Leonard and for all who need your healing touch. And we pray for those who have passed on to your kingdom, who now worship in the presence of Christ, especially Wayne Tyler and Dorothy Shields, who, though we miss and we mourn, we know that you will comfort us because you promised that you would. Almighty God, you call us to follow you with faithfulness, even when it challenges our relationships in our own culture. Help us to release our fears. Nurture us in your ways. And sustain us as we seek to be your body of Christ on earth as it is in heaven. We ask this through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. God gives us more grace than we can ever earn and sustains us in ways that we cannot imagine. Let us freely offer ourselves and our gifts to the world. If the ushers would come forward.